We left off yesterday. Zayin Amud Beis. Zayin Amud Beis. Gufa. Gufa Amar of Chista. So what's the Gemara quotes from one of the statements that we mentioned earlier? Amar of Chista, Na'at Kana Birshus Hayochid. If a person literally put in a pole, Kana literally means a reed, but it means over here a pole, a tall pole, Inush Sayochid, Vizorak Venach Al Gabov. And a person then threw an object, Rashi points out over here, Zorak Vinach, Kasak Adait Chamer Shus HaRabim V'Rishus HaYochid. Now the Pashas, the Gemara says, so now the case would be, I put a Kana in Rosh HaYochid, I put a pole in Rosh HaYochid, I'm standing in Rosh HaRabim, I throw an object from Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid, and where does the object land? The object lands on the Zorak Vinach Agabe Ziz. Okay, I just skipped a line. V'zarek v'nach agabov. And the object comes to rest on top of the pole. Afilu gavoa mea ama chayiv. Even if the pole is more than 100 amas tall, and chayiv, why? Mipnei shereshus hayochid ola ad l'rakiyo. Because reshus hayochid ascends all the way to shamayim. Leima Rav Chista da'amar k'Rebbe. So the Gemara says it would appear that Rav Chista holds like Rebbe. So Rav also says, now what Rav Chista has just told us is something very interesting, which is that the object has not come to rest on a makom of dalet al dalet, right? Because the assumption is over here that this kana is not dalet al dalet. It's a thin pole, but nevertheless, I'm throwing the object from Rosh Saradim to the Rosh Sayach. It's coming to rest on top of the pole, and even though it's not a makom dalet al dalet, I'm chayiv. So the Gemara says, Lema Rav Chista da Amar K'Rebbe. It would appear that Rav Chista holds like Rebbe. In fact, look at Rashi da Amar K'Rebbe. Rashi says, it's actually the second to last Rashi, Delo Oboy Hanocha Makom Gab Al Gabid Makom Dalit. Because Rebbe also doesn't hold the Chini Hanocha Makom Dalit. Why? What did Rebbe say? This Tanya, Zorach Vinach Al Gabi Ziz, if you threw an object and it came to rest on a Ziz. Ziz is like a protrusion. Rashi says over here, Zorach Vinach, now this is the last Rashi, Kasakadait Chamir Rishus Harabim Rishus Hayochid. Now the assumption over here the Gemara is going to say is like this. I'm standing in Rishus Harabim and I throw an object, and it comes to rest on a ziz, on a protrusion in Rosh Hayochid. So the halacha is, Zorach v'nach al-gabi ziz, Koshkin Rebbe Mechai, Koshu, Rebbe Mechai, the Chacham Potrim, and the ziz is of any size, Rebbe says you're chayiv, the Chachamim say you're potter. So you see over here that what? Alma, lo ba'inon makom dalid al-dalid. You see from here that you do not require a makom dalid al-dalid to be chayiv for the hanocha of an object. Top of ches. Amra baye, birshus hayochid kuli amalo pligi kidrav chisto. So baye says like this, in reality, in birshus hayochid, everyone agrees, like Rav Chista. What does anything about say? That in Rosh Hayochid, everyone agrees that you don't need Hanocha al gabe makom dalid al dalid. You don't need makom dalid al dalid. Now, when we say everybody agrees, of course, you know, it's not everybody agrees. It's for now everybody agrees, like Rav Chista, that you don't need Hanocha al makom dalid al dalid. Elo hacha be'ilan ha'omid b'Rishus Hayochid v'nofo nota l'Rosh Sarabim. So also, we had a similar case like this on Sukkis. What are we dealing with over here? With a tree that's standing in Rosh Hayochid, but its branch extends into Rosh HaRabim. V'zorak v'noch anofo. And now I throw an object, and the object comes to rest on the branch of the tree. Rashi says, v'nofe note Rosh HaRabim v'zorak, mitchilas dalit l'sof dalit v'noch anofo. So what's the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokes is the following. I'm standing in Rosh HaRabim, and I throw an object, and the object travels Dalet Amos. And the object comes to rest on a branch of a tree. But this is no ordinary tree. This is a tree whose trunk is in Rosh HaYochid. But what? The branch extends into Rosh HaRabim. The object comes to rest on the branch of the Rosh HaRabim. So on the branch of the tree. So the Gemara says the following. Rebbe Savar Aminan Shaddai Nofo, Shadi Nofo, Basar Ikaro. Rebbe holds that you go ahead and you allow, essentially, you categorize the, literally means, you throw the branch after the trunk, which is another way of saying that the status of the branch is determined by the status of the trunk. And therefore, since the trunk sits in Rishus Hayochid, So the Rebbe would say, therefore, the branch also has the status of Rishus HaYochid. If that's the case, then what? Then when I'm standing in Rishus HaRabim, and I throw the object and it lands on the branch, what is that? That's an act of Hotzah from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. V'Rabbanan Savri, and again...
Because the trunk is 4x4, but not the branch.
Correct, okay. correct. This all presupposes that the trunk is 4x4. That is correct.
The tree itself is Rishus HaYochid?
Correct. Correct. Therefore, the tree itself is Rishus, meaning, let me say it differently. The branch is an extension of the tree. The trunk of the tree is in Rishus HaYochid, right? And that's the area, that's the makom, that's Dalet al Dalet. There's a branch that extends into Rishus HaRabim. I'm standing in Rishus HaRabim, threw an object, it landed on the branch. On the branch. Rebbe holds that that is tantamount to going ahead and engaging in an act of Otsa from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, because the branch has the status of Rishus HaYochid.
The trunk itself is standing in Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't really matter whether the trunk itself is 4x4 or not, right? There's no tree.
So the truth is, it's easy enough to set up the case of a trunk that's 4x4 anyway. Meaning, right now it doesn't make a difference, because the Gemara wanted to suggest before that Rebbe doesn't require a makom dalet al dalet in Rosh Hashayochid regardless. Right, that's what the Gemara was suggesting before. But the truth is, it's easy enough to say that for our purposes right now, what the Gemara is saying is, the machlokes is not so much dependent on makom dalet al dalet b'Rosh Hashayochid. The machlokes in Rabbi and the Rabbanan is going to be in the case of a tree that is whose trunk is in Rosh Hashayochid and branch extends into Rosh Hashayochid. Correct. Because then even if it's less than 4x4, Allah Almighty, it could be like Rebbe holds that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet b'Rosh Hashayochid. I'm sorry?
The branch is erecting. It's just hanging in the air. Is that a possibility?
So look at the next line. Good. So, V'Rabbanan Savri, Lo Arminan Shadei Nofo Basri Karo. Yeah, the rabbis actually hold that we don't say put the branch after the trunk. The rabbanon say that we judge the branch by where it is. And if that branch overhangs into Rishus HaRabim, that branch is called Rishus HaRabim, as much as it's part of a tree that really emanates in Rishus HaYochid. This is what I mentioned a little while ago. I don't know when we did that. I don't know when I mentioned this. But this comes into the interesting case. It's a Choshen Mishpah case also, where if my neighbor has a tree and the branches grow into my yard, who's responsible for cutting those branches? So this is the same machlokas. Do we look at branches as just their own independent entity, and wherever they hang over is the makom that they're a part of? Or do we say no? Like Sai is saying, branches don't grow from nowhere. Branches grow from a trunk. So wherever the trunk is, that's responsible for the branches. So I'm just pointing out the same machlokas by Shabbos is that same machlokas as well. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that when it comes to Rishus HaYochid, everyone's going to agree, like Rav Chista, that you don't need a makom dalet al dalet. And the machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanon over here, so I mean the Rabbanon aren't really arguing with this concept either, rather the machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanon deals with the case of the tree whose trunk is in Rishus HaYochid, branch extends into Rishus HaRabim, I'm standing in Rishus HaRabim, throw the object that lands on the branch. According to Rebbe, that's the act of Hotzah, because the branch ultimately is part of the trunk. Trunk is Rishus HaYochid. According to the Rabbanon, no, the branch is recognized as its own independent entity, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, I have not gone ahead and committed an act of Hotzah. Amar Abayi. Abayi says the following. First of all, just take a look at... Good. Okay. Fine. Amar Abayi. I'll just say it real quick, because we're not going to get into that, but Rashi does have two different girsos of this particular Gemara, but we're gonna keep with the simple reading of this Gemara. Amar Abayi, Zarak Kaveres L'Rishus HaRabim. So what's this actually interesting case? A person threw a Kaveres. Now what's a Kaveres? A Kaveres is a basket. Now here's what's interesting. Rashi points out, Agulahi. Now, a kaveres is not any basket. A kaveres is actually a basket that's used to hold honey. Now, what's interesting about this is, and I don't know what came first. I'm assuming I know what came first. We also call a beehive a kaveres. So, it could be that probably this basket that was used to go ahead and hold honey was probably given the same name as the beehive. Okay. It doesn't really matter right now, but just giving you an interesting... I'm sorry?
Beehive shape,
right? It's a basket, yeah. Basket. Alright, so, Zorak Kaveres Rishus HaRabim. So listen to this case. I throw a basket into Rishus HaRabim. Gavoha Yud. It has a height of 10 tefachim. The basket itself has a height of 10 tefachim. Ve'eino rechava vav. But it doesn't have a circumference of vav tefachim. The Rebbe will say, you'll ask yourself, why are you getting into circumference now? Remember, we already established, what are the dimensions for Rosh Hashayachid? So you need a height of Yud, right? And Dalet al Dalet, right? You need to have like a 4 Amma by 4 Amma, a 4 Tefach by 4 Tefach square. Now, with the reason why the Gemara is going into diameter. The reason why the Gemara is going into diameter over here is because in order for a circle to be able to go ahead and fit a 4 Tefach by 4 Tefach square, you will need to have a diameter of at least 6 tefach. That's where this comes from. So we're just trying to fit a square of shus into a circular. We're going to fit the square peg into a circle hole. Right? So that's, is that how it goes? Square peg into, right, round hole. We've actually been able to do it. So that's why the Gemara is using the lashon of a diameter of a circle. Diameter. A diameter, the measurement across the middle of the circle. A diameter of 6 tefachim. So now, if you go ahead and you have this basket, that's gavoa yud, but is not 6 tefachim wide. It's not 6 tefachim wide. Which means that it's not the size of a rishus hayochid. It's not the size of a rishus hayochid. And you throw that into rishus harabim, then what? Chayiv. You're chayiv for that. Okay? Why? Because what have you essentially done? Just done Rabbi Osai. You've transferred an item from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus Harabim. Okay. However, Rechava Vav, Potter. But here's what's interesting. If the basket itself was 6 tefachim in diameter, and therefore what? This basket has the dimensions of a Rishus Hayochid, then you would be Potter if you threw the basket from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus Harabim. Now, what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi. Ruchava vav potter, Rashi says, Dahavi rishus la'atzma. Because if the basket is 10 tefachim high and 6 tefachim in diameter, then essentially it has the measurements of a rishus hayochid and it is its own rishus hayochid. Va'anan mimishkan gaminon. And remember, we learn out all of our malachos from the Mishkan. Shahayu zorkin machtean bimelachton zelaze. This is actually interesting. So Rashi learns out. See, I would have, before we saw this Rashi, and we'll see this is actually a machlokes, we would have assumed that the malach of Hotsa in the Mishkan was learned out where? Was learned out when they used to pass the boards, right? The Levim would pass the boards wagon to wagon. The interesting part about that is that generally malachos of the Mishkan are learned out from the actual fabrication of the Mishkan. The passing of the boards was the erecting of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was already a finished product. So interestingly enough, Rashi says over here that one of the ways they did Hotzah, one of the learnings is that they would throw the needles to each other. The craftsmen would share needles, would share sewing needles, right? And they would go ahead and throw it one to the other. So interestingly enough, that's where you learn the Malach of Hotzah from, of transferring objects. So Rashi points out, you see from here, that the Malach of Hotza is limited to transferring objects, but does not apply to transferring Rishuyos. So if the basket itself is a Rishus, it is not subject to the laws of Hotza.
In transferring those sewn needles, the artisans were, one would be in Rishus.
Yeah, one could have been say Yemachana Levia, meaning technically speaking, if you and I were two artisans and you were doing your work in Machana Levia and I was sitting right next to you, but I was in Machana Yisrael, that's Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayochid. So Rava Omer, Rava says like this, Afilu Ina Rechava Vav Potter. Rava says it's actually very interesting. Rava suggests that even halacha lemaisa, if it's not 6 tefachim in diameter, I'm still potter. So Rava wants to suggest that even if daf ches about 6 lines down, that even if the basket doesn't have a diameter of 6 tefachim, so even if the basket does not constitute a rishus, you're still potter. Why? Listen to this. My taima, efshar lekrumios shalkana shelo yalu lemala me'asara. Because it's impossible that some of the reeds of the basket will not extend above 10 tefachim. So we'll say, what does that mean? So I guess, so when you had a basket that was made of reeds, which I guess this Kalvaris was, so the edge is not perfect. There's always some stuff that sticks up. So inevitably, Rava says that some of the reeds will stick up above 10. Look at Rashi. E'af shar. Hoil v'gavoa yud shlo yehe bakrumios min ashasi shegov him mechavereim sha'ariv. The olin lamala miyud shu avir makom ptur. So also, remember, this basket is 10 tefachim high. Which by definition means you're always going to end up having some of the material that extends above 10. Now remember, Rabosai, what is the status of an area above 10 in Rosh Saravim? Makom Ptur. Remember, only in Rosh Sayochid does the avir, does the airspace go out of the rakia. In Rosh Saravim, it only goes until Yud. Now, so who cares if it goes above Yud? Listen to this. So Rava says like this, in order for you to be chayiv hotzah, right, in order for you to be chayiv transferring an item from one domain to another, the item must be fully situated in that new domain. So if I'm going to be chayiv for transferring the basket from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, the item must be fully in Rosh Hashanah. But if the item is only partially in Rosh Hashanah, and part of it extends into Makom Ptur, then what? Then I'm not going to be chayiv. So Rava says, even if the basket doesn't have the requisite diameter to make it a Rosh Hashanah, Rava says, as long as it's 10 tefachim high, you're always going to be patur, because it's impossible that some threads of the basket are not extending above 10 into the Makom Ptur. Once part of the basket is in Makom Ptur, that means what? The whole basket is not sitting in Rosh Sarabim. Once the whole basket is not sitting in Rosh Sarabim, you're not chayiv. That's case number one. Case two, that's a good case. Kaf al-piya. Listen to this, it's going to get better. Kaf al-piya is, let's say, you see, we're assuming you're throwing in the basket like this. Right? But I'm not doing it. No, I'm not. Right? You're throwing in the basket like this. Right? Where the basket is going to land Rosh Sarabim on its bottom. Let's say you turned it over and you threw in the basket upside down. So the opening is face down on the ground. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, in that case, Shiva umashahu chayiv. Shiva umechza potter. If the basket has a height of 7 tefachim and a little bit, you're chayiv. If it has a height of sheva umechza, at least we'll call it 7.5 tefachim, then you're potter. So I'll say, what's the pshat? This is wild. Listen to this. Kafa, Sarashi says, Kafa al piha, vizarka, a'en rechav vavkai. So in this case, the basket doesn't have the requisite diameter. It doesn't have the width dimension to the Rosh Hashanah. But watch this. Zainu mashu chayiv. Im gavoa zainu mashu adayin chayiv. I'm reading Rashi. If the basket is 7 tefachim tall, at 7 tefachim and a little bit, then you're chayiv. Why? Because she came p'chusa mikan, ela afilu gavoa zainu mashu, di'ika lameymar, hoel u'michitzoseha lemata, v'kaimalon halocha lemoshe misinai, da'aminan lovut. Akati kula necha birshus harabim, dechimatche pachos migimo somoch lekarka, v'amar bahen lavud, v'hav yahanocha, akati kula ba'avirsar. So listen to this, Rabbi. This is amazing. So now, what the Gemara wants to suggest is the following. That when you throw that basket in upside down, so what happens? See, what's the chilik when it's upside down? So it's almost like it has mechitzos, right? Because there's an opening and it has mechitzos. So when you throw that basket, if you like played that tape in slow motion, so what happens? When that basket is coming down, Rabosai, remember, when is it considered to be attached to the ground? Right? Within three tefachim. Because remember, we learned this already, that within three tefachim, there's a din of lavud. So the Gemara says, when that basket is coming down, so remember, but it's only lavud, here's what's interesting, once it gets into within three tefachim of the ground. So once it gets within three tefachim of the ground, as long as the basket is just 7 and a little bit, so the moment that lavud kicks in, where is the basket within the airspace, general airspace of Rosh Sarabim? It's within 10. Within 10. So by the time lavud, that's why it's only, because remember, lavud only kicks in when you're within 3. That's why the Gemara says, use the lashon of 7 and a little bit. Right? So 7 and a little bit will essentially mean that once lavud kicks in, you are within yud tefachim. you are within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh Hasharavim. So as long as you're within 10 tefachim of the ground of Rosh Hasharavim, that's considered to be Rosh Hasharavim, and therefore the Gemara is saying over here is, by the time Lavud kicks in, the Kli is already, with the basket, is already fully within the airspace of Rosh Hasharavim. And therefore you're going to be chayiv for Hotsar. Remember, because we're talking about over here, a basket that does not have the requisite diameter that would make it into Rosh Hasharavim. So it's only 7 and a little bit, 7 and change. So by the time Lavud kicks in, the basket is fully within Yud. However, watch this. However, Shiva Umechtsa Potter. But if it's 7.5, then it's Potter. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because what's going to happen? Because as the basket's coming down, remember, watch the slow motion tape. So as the basket's coming down, not literally a thief, everybody looked towards me. Right? As the basket's coming down, then what happens? When Lover kicks in, where is the basket? The basket is more than 10 tefachim above the ground. Because remember, Lover kicks in as soon as you're at, we'll call it 2.999 tefachim off the ground. But at that point in time, let's say there's still 3/4 of a tefach that's above the 10 tefach airspace limit of Rosh Hasharavim, which then kicks back to what we said before, which was that if a kli is partially resting out in a makom p'tur, then halacha lemaisa, you're not chayiv for otzah. So again, this is all talking about over here. Remember, the kli is upside down, because you only say lavud when there are mechitzos. So now the kli is upside down, looks like there's mechitzos. So again, one more time. If the kli just has a height of 7 and a little bit, by the time lavud kicks in, it's fully within the 10 tefachim of the airspace of Rosh Hasharavim, therefore you're chayiv. But if the kli is, let's say, 7.5 tefachim tall, then by the time lavud kicks in, part of the kli is out of the area of the Rosh Hasharavim. Now, again, even Rabbi said the kli is only going to be there for a split second. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the first act of hanocha still occurred at a point where part of the kli was extending in to an area that's putter. If that happened, then halacha l'maaseh not chayiv for otzah. However, oh, we'll get into tumbling. We're going to get into that. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, however, Ravashi Amar Afilu Sheva Umechtsa Chayiv. Ravashi says, no, not true. Even 7.5, Ravashi Amar Afilu Sheva Umechtsa Chayiv, my time, Mechitzos L'Sochan Asuyos. Ravashi says, I think you guys are off. Why? Because you can't apply Lovet over here. Because when does Lovet apply to Bosai? Lovet applies to Mechitzos, right? Lovet applies to Mechitzos, to walls that are supposed to go down. He says the entire essence of the basket is not for walls to go down, it's for walls to go up, right? A basket is a receptacle. So the way the basket is positioned right now is not the normal usage of the walls of the basket. Because of that, Ravashi says, I don't think that you should apply the laws of Lavud, because it's an unnatural application. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, halach l'maisa, even if it was sheva u'mechtsa, halach l'maisa, you'd still be chayiv, because you wouldn't apply Lavud in this particular case. Amar Ula. Amu tisha b'rish ha-sarabim v'ram m'kasa Ula. Alright, I'll pick up the pace a little bit. Ula said, if you have an amar, if you have a pillar that is 9 tefachim tall in Rosh Hasharavim, and what happens? Rabbi m'kasa Ula, and the general public uses it to adjust their load. Right? So people use that pillar to go ahead and adjust their load on top of it. So what happens? The zarek v'nach al-gabov, and a person throws an object, and the object comes to rest on top of the pillar. Chayiv, you're chayiv for that. My timer. So we'll say, why is that? And here's what's interesting. Based on what we said yesterday, we would not have thought that to be true. Because based on what we learned yesterday, halacha l'maaseh, if you have an area that the public doesn't walk on, right? Remember, even between the pillars, there was a madam who held that that's not called Rosh Hasharavim. So my timer. Pachos mishlosha midrash darsili rabim. If an area is less than 3 tefachim tall, we assume that people walk all over that. Mishlosha v'atisha, from 3 to 9, lo midrash darsila v'lo kasi makafsi, from an area of 3 tefachim to 9 tefachim, so that's not really usable, because A, people can't walk over it, and B, it's too low for people to adjust their load. However, tisha v'adai mikasvin iluye. But if an area is 9 tefachim tall, that's perfect height to allow someone to adjust their load on top of that area. So because of that, that becomes an area that's used by the rabbi. Amar Leah by the Rav Yosef, guma mai. What about a guma? What about a pit? So Rav Yosef, the question now is, will we apply the same dimensions downward as well? And say that perhaps an area that's 9 tefachim deep is also usable. Now what would it be usable for? Rashi points out, it would allow people to deposit their stuff. I need to go shopping in the shuk, and I'm going to leave my stuff in this guma over here, and I'll come back for it later. So Amar Leih, b'chein b'guma. So Rabbi Yosef responded, it's true with a guma also. Meaning whatever directions will be true going upwards will also be true going downwards. Rava Amar Beguma Lo. Right? Rava said, no, not with a guma. So the Gemara says, my time, why not? Tashmish ayidei adchak lo shmei tashmish. Because usage that is not easy. Tashmish ayidei adchak literally means difficult usage. Difficult usage is not called usage. Meaning, even though, yes, you could use this pit, but because it's not an easy usage for the Rosh Sarabim, it's not called Rosh Sarabim. Eisei Rav Adar Bar Masna l'Rava. So Rav Adar Bar Masna raised the question to Rava. Haisa kupasa munachas b'Rosh Sarabim gavoa asara urachava dalet. If you have a basket that is sitting in Rosh Sarabim, but it's 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, ein metaltin lo misocha de Rosh Sarabim, lo mish sarabim l'socha. You can't carry an object or move an object from the basket to Rosh Sarabim or from Rosh Sarabim to the basket. Why? Because the basket has the dimensions of its own Rosh Sayochid. Pachos mikan, less than this, meaning if it doesn't have these measurements, metaltin, you're permitted to go ahead and carry from it or to it. V'chein beguma, and so too with a pit. Right? So the Gemara says, Maidlav Asefa, when we say so too with a guma, does that not apply? Is that not connected back to the last statement? Rashi says, second to last Rashi, Maidlav, Hai v'chein Asefa, namikoi, the pachos mikan metaltel chatchila, Amar Rosh Sarabim chashivle, v'okma ba'omok tes. So now, when we say Bechin Beguma, does that not mean the last statement, which is that if the Guma, let's say, is not 10 Tfachim deep, but it's 9 Tfachim deep, then what? Then you can use that as part of the Rosh Sarabim because it's considered to be as part of the Rosh Sarabim. So what do you see from here? That even a Guma that's less than 10 Tfachim, Halacha L'maisa, meaning even though it's Tashish Ayidei Adchak, it's not the easiest usage, but it's still considered to be part of the Rosh Sarabim. To which the Gemara says, lo, a reisha. No, the Guma statement is not connected to the Seifa, it's connected to the Reisha. Rashi says, lo, a reisha, agavo agur urachava dalid, dahavi rushas hayochid. No, when it says the Chin Guma, what it means is, so too, if you have a pit in Rosh Sarabim that happens to be 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim deep, that's also called a rushas hayochid. Eisei, so he raises another question. This kavin, lishmos Rosh Sarabim, so what happens? I'm going to say now a little bit of Erevin. So we know that Halacha L'maaseh on Shabbos, a person has 2,000 amos in which they are permitted to travel. 2,000 amos. What happens if you need to go ahead and travel more than 2,000 amos on Shabbos? You can make what's called an Erev Tchumen. So what's an Erev Tchumen? Very simple. Well, not simple, but a simple explanation of it is, Erev Tchumen is that essentially, from a halachic perspective, home is where your food is. So home is where your food is. So which means that you have 2,000 amas from your home. So essentially, the Gemara says that if you go ahead and place food in a particular location, that becomes your new halachic home, and as a result, you have 2,000 amas from that spot going forward. So the Gemara says like this. However, one condition is that your area of food must be accessible to you on Shabbos. On Shabbos, at least they're called Ben HaShmashos. At the onset of Shabbos. So in Iskavim Lishpos B'Rosh Sarabim, so let's say a person was going to set up shop on Shabbos in Rosh Sarabim, v'hiniach eruvo bebar l'mala miyut tfachim. And literally, he puts his eruv food in a bar, in a pit, that's taller than 10 tfachim. Eruvo eruv, the eruv works. L'mata miyut tfachim, but if it's lower than 10 tfachim, Ein eruvo eruv. His eruv is not good. Take a quick look at Rashi Rabosai. Niskavim lishpos b'Rosh Sarabim. Rashi says, Hama'arev eruvei tchumin, eruvo konalo, shvisaso sham, sheyucha leilech misham lecho ruach apayim. Lecho ruach apayim, ki'ilu shavas sham. When you put an eruv tchumin somewhere, it creates a domicile, which allows you to walk in 2,000 amos in any direction you want. Okay, so let's go on, fine. So Rashi, the Gemara says, Hechidami, what is the case? I mean, Rav said this lashon is very interesting. If you put your Eruv lower than 10 Tfachim, it's not good. But if you put your Eruv higher than 10 Tfachim, it's good. So Rav says, hey, what's the case? E Lema, Babor de Ispe Asara. If you're talking about Avos, remember, let's get the facts over here straight. Where am I standing? I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim. Right? Where is the Erev being put? The Erev is being put in a bar. Here's the, so the wording of the Braisa is, if again the Eruv was lemala, higher than 10 tefachim, then it's good. Lower than 10 tefachim, it's not good. So what's the case? Ilema b'bar de isbe asara, if you're telling me that the bar itself is 10 tefachim deep, right? Ulemala didaloi va'osvei, ulemata ditasoi va'osvei. And lemala and lemata means, refers to that in one case I'm lowering the food all the way down, another case I'm suspending the food a little bit. The Gemara says, who cares? Mali lemala umali lemata. Hu b'makom echad, ve'iruva b'makom acher. So they both say, either way, once the pit has a height of 10 tefachim, then they both say, does it matter if you put the food on the floor of the pit or if you suspend it in the pit? Of course not. Right? It's shusayachid. And you have a problem because I am in one rishus and my Eruv is in another rishus, which Rabbi says is a problem. Your Eruv must be in the same rishus as you. Again, I want to be clear, it doesn't have to be for all of Shabbos, it just has to be at the onset of Shabbos. So if the bar itself is 10 tefachim deep, that is a rishus ayachid, and who cares halacha l'maisa if I'm suspending it or putting it on the floor there? So the Gemara says, el alav bebar deles be'asara. Rather, it must be that the bar does not have 10 tefachim. V'katoni eruva eruv. Right? And yet, what does the Braisa say? That the eruv is good. The Rabbi said, what does that mean if the eruv is good? It must mean what? That the eruv is in the same rishus that I am. Which means what, Rabbi said? I'm standing in rishus rabim. My eruv is in a pit that's not 10 tefachim deep. Not 10 tefachim deep. It's called 9 tefachim deep. What does that show you? That a bar that's less than 9 tefachim deep is what? Is part of Rishus HaRabim, which tells you that even an area that's not easily accessible by the Rabim is still considered to be part of Rishus HaRabim. To which the Gemara says, Alma Tashmish Al Yedei Hadchak Shmei Tashmish. So you see from here what? That even usage of an area that's not easy is still considered to be usage, and therefore the area is Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, no, we could answer this. But there are different answers to this. Zimnin Mishanile, at times, the way they would reconcile this idea would be to answer, Hulve Eruva Bekarmelis. That what's the case of the Braisa over here? The case of the Braisa is where I am actually in a Carmelis with my Eruv. But that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says that I am standing in a Rishus in Rishus Rabim. To which the Gemara says, Va'amai Karli Rishus Rabim. So why does the Gemara call a Carmelis a Rishus Rabim? Because it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So mostly, remember again, we saw the opposite yesterday, right? Where the Gemara referred to a Carmelis as a Rishus HaYachid. Why? In order to make the statement that it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, that's one answer. So answer number one is that, remember also, what the Gemara is essentially going to say is, you can't bring up, understand what our fundamental question is. Our fundamental question is, here's what we've established. That if I have a pillar that's 9 tefachim tall, that's considered to be Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the rabbin uses it because they could adjust their load on it. The shaila is, does the same thing apply going down? Let's say I have a bar that's not 9 tefachim deep, because that's 9 tefachim deep, because if the bar is 10 tefachim deep, and let's say 4 tefachim wide, it's a Rishus HaYachid. But let's say it's 9 tefachim deep. So do we say that people use that? Well, the truth is, people could definitely use it. They could put their stuff in there, right, while they go shopping. But it's not an easy, unfettered usage. So the shayla is tashmish al yedei adcha called a tashmish or not? The Gemara wanted to bring a raya from this braisa of the guy who put his eruv tchumin in a bar that's not 9 tefachim. In a bar that's 9 tefachim. And yet the Gemara says that's a good eruv. Why? Because I'm in the same rishus as my eruv. The Gemara wants to say, you see from here that a board that's 9 tefachim deep is considered to be rishus rabim, which then tells us that as long as it's not 10 tefachim deep, that's considered rishus rabim, even though what? It's tashmish ayedei adchak. To which the Gemara is trying to say, no, it's not true. This case is different. What's the case over here? The guy is not in rishus rabim, he's in a carmelis. He's in a carmelis with his eruv. So then why does the Gemara say that he's standing in a Rosh HaRabim? So it's calling it Rosh HaRabim because it's not a Rosh HaYachid. So what the Gemara is saying is that anytime you're not in Rosh HaYachid, the Gemara calls it Rosh HaRabim, even though the case over here is not referring to a technical Rosh HaRabim, rather a Carmelis. V'zimnin mishani, the other times we would answer it like this, Hu v'Rosh HaRabim, what's the case? No, like the Gemara says, I'm literally standing in Rosh HaRabim, ve'eruv al be'Carmelis. And where is my eruv? My Eruv is in a Carmelis. So the Gemara says, the Rebbe, and what is Rebbe's position? What does Rebbe say? The Amar, Kol davar shehu mishum shavus lo gazru alav ben ashmashos. Rebbe's of the position of Osai, that anything that's aser midrabanan on Shabbos is not aser ben ashmashos, is not aser at the twilight period of the onset of Shabbos. Now, why is this important for us of Osai? Because halacha lemaisa, what's most important when it comes to the Erev Tchumin is that the Erev is viable at Ben Ashmashos. As long as it's viable at Ben Ashmashos, we don't care what happens to it the rest of Shabbos. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. That I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, my Erev is in the Carmelis. Now I will say, under normal circumstances, can you carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabin to a Carmelis? No. Right? Why not? Midrabanan. Remember, Carmelis is not a real Rishus. Carmelis is not the biblical Rishus. It's not a derived. It's a rabbinic Rishus. Right? But the Rabbanon said you can't carry from a Carmelis to a Rabbin. So Rebbe holds that Isurei de Rabbanon don't apply Ben Ashmashos. And therefore, technically speaking, at Ben Ashmashos, when I'm in Rishus Rabbin and my Eruv is in the Carmelis, is my Eruv accessible to me? The answer is?
Yes.
And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, that is a good Eruv. So the Gemara says, "Velo tema dechuye kamatchin alcha," and don't think the Gemara says that we're just giving you some kind of shver answer over here. Rather, "Eladavka kamin alcha." This is a true answer. This nan im hayorakak mayim urushus ham urushus rab maaleches bo. If you have rakak mayim, literally means like a stream of water, but a very small stream, a stream of water, and urushus rabim goes through it. Hazorik lesolcha dalid ames chayiv. If one goes ahead and throws an item and it travels four amas, you're going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says here, if you take a look at Rashi says the following. Rashi says she'ovrin ba'oso rakak baraglehem. So right, so they're going ahead and there is the stream that runs through Shurabin. So now you're going ahead and you're throwing an object and it travels dalet amas. You're chayiv for carrying an object or for moving an object for amas in shesarabim. So the Gemara says, one second. V'kamahu rakak mayim. What is this case of the stream? How large is this stream? So the Gemara says, pachos miyud tfachim. It's a case of what? It's a case of where it's less than 10 tfachim. Less than 10 tfachim deep. Right? So the rakak mayim is less than 10 tfachim deep. So the Gemara says, furthermore, v'rakak mayim sharu shesarabim mahalechas bo. And if you have a small stream of water that the Rosh Hashanah goes through, hazorik lesocho dalet amos chayiv. One who's standing in the stream, let's say, and throws an object for amos will be chayiv. Shabbos says another way of saying what? That the rakok, the stream is part of the Rosh Hashanah. So now we'll say, this is a very strange brisa, or actually it's actually a Mishnah, because it says, seems to say the same thing twice. It said, im hayarakak mayim, if you had a stream of water, urushusurabim alechesbo, and rushusurabim walk goes through it, hazorik lesocha dalet amas chayiv. Somebody throws an object, four amas is chayiv, it's urushusurabim. Vekami rakak mayim, bachos mi tfachim, okay, fine. And then it says the same thing. Verakak mayim sharashus harabim mahaleches bo. So too, if you have a stream of water that your son goes through it, hazorik lesocho dalet amas chayiv. If you throw dalet amas in it, you're chayiv. Same thing twice. So the Gemara says bishlama rakak trezimni. I understand why you want to mention the stream twice. Why? Chad b'imosachama v'chad b'imosagishamim. One is to teach us that this halacha applies during the winter, and one is to teach us that halacha applies during the summer. That's imosachama. And one of the teachers that halacha applies during the winter. Why was the pshat? Utsvicha. Diashmo inon b'imosachama da'avivi inshi v'karuri nafshaihu. I would have thought, why is the stream part of Rosh Hasharabin? So during the summer it makes sense. Why? Because people might actually go out of their way to walk through it. Why? You cool yourself down. Aval b'imosachishamim emolo. But in the wintertime, people would avoid the stream. If people would avoid the stream, then what? Rabbos? The moment you begin avoiding an area, then what? Then it's no longer real Rosh Hasharabim. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, and if you would say that maybe, if it just taught us by winter, agav the mitnif, mikri, v'nochis. Since in the wintertime, Rabosa, you're already dirty anyway, right? Because remember, the roads are all muddy. So the truth is, right, you walk through a little stream, it really doesn't matter all that much. But in the summertime, where, again, the roads are dry, I'm not dirty, I'd be a little bit more careful about walking through water. Therefore, tzricha. Shabbos, the Braisa has to mention the case of a stream twice in order to teach us that this stream is considered, as long as it's not 10 tefachim deep, this stream is considered to be part of Rosh Sarabim both during the winter and during the summer. Ele hiluch trei zimni lamali. But why does it have to teach me the case of hiluch twice? Why does it have to say that I'm walking through it twice? So the Gemara says, Ela lav shma mina hiluch ayedei adchak shmei hiluch. Tashmish ayedei adchak lo shmei tashmish shma mina. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Rather, what do you see from here? The reason it says hiluch twice, the Gemara wants to suggest, is to go ahead and emphasize the point, which is that when you walk through an area, even if that area is not easily traversed, it's still considered to be Rishus HaRabin. See, even though, again, the stream might not be the easiest part of the Rishus HaRabin to cross, but as long as people occasionally use it, even if it's Ayyidei Adchak, that's called Rishus HaRabin, as opposed to Tashmish Ayyidei Adchak, which means usage of an area, other than walking through it. If it's not easily usable, then what? It's not considered to be Rishus HaRabim. So I will say, what comes out halacha l'maaseh according to this sugi is the following. In the case of the pole that's 10 tefachim high, or that's 9 tefachim high, excuse me, because that's easily usable, it's automatically part of the Rishus HaRabim. The bar that's 9 tefachim deep, because it's not easily usable, is not considered to be part of Rishus HaRabim. But this is only by usage. However, when it comes to areas that are used for walking, apparently, even if an area is not easily traversable, but it's used, halacha lemaisa is part of the Rosh Hashanah. Let's do a couple more lines of both sides. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Zirza, the Kani Rama v'Zokvi, v'Zokvi Rama v'Zokvi. So we'll say another interesting case, which Mr. Martyr alluded to before. Let's say you have, Rashi points out over here, Zirza the Kani, Chavila Shalkana Maruchim. You have a bundle of large reeds, of long reeds. And what do? Instead of picking it up, what you do is you roll it, but not roll it like on its width.
End over end.
Right. So meaning if you go ahead and so if this is the bundle, you pick it up, you go like that, you pick it up, you go like that, you pick it up, you go like that. So interestingly enough, what are you not doing? You're never actually fully lifting it up, but you're rolling it end over end in order to get it to another location. So the halach is lo mechayiv. You're not chayiv for that. Ad the akerle, because you're not, because that's not called water bowl, so that's not called an akira. Because in order to be an akira, what do you have to have? You have to fully remove an object from its resting place. Amarmar, Adam omed ala isikufa benotami balabais. So we'll say, Mar says like this: a person stands. We actually had this about the isikufa. So remember our isikufa. I will say, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Hashem right here tomorrow morning. Was that